Well, again, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you today. I closed last week. Last week, we had shared that it was Christ the King Sunday. It was the last Sunday in the Christian calendar, and that makes the first of Advent the very first Sunday in the Christian calendar. And these four Sundays lead us up to Christmas Eve and the Christmas Day, and as we just kind of continue with the life of Jesus. But Advent is a time of preparation. We recognize that Jesus, who was born, a little over 2,000 years ago, and we celebrate that fact, that there was a literal baby, right? It's not a story. There was Jesus was born and lived among us. We also recognize the fact that Jesus said he was going to return one day. And so we look forward to the time when Jesus returns to us. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be, our worship themes are going to be centered around preparation and anticipation. I've already talked about a time of wonder is the devotional that we'll be reading together throughout this season. Today the focus is upon a time for renewal. Advent is a time for renewal. And to me, renewal means that we are not stuck with our mistakes and we're not doomed to be the people we once were. Advent, as a time of renewal, reminds us that we can become different than we currently are, that we have hope. And so let's read our scripture this morning from Ephesians chapter 4. Paul writes, "With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness, and they wander far from the life God gives, because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity." Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Not your ordinary average Advent Christmas reading, right? That's kind of comes out of left field. But it's it all makes sense as we move through our service today. Just a quick question for us as we begin. Who here has ever watched The Grinch? You guys watched The Grinch? Kind of a silly question. Who hasn't either read The Grinch or watched The Grinch on the TV? The Grinch is this unredeemable character. He's depicted as green and furry, pot-bellied and pear-shaped. He has spent the last 53 years living in seclusion on a cliff overlooking the town of Whoville. He lives his life for himself and for no one else. And if you can remember, one of the characteristics of the Grinch was that his heart was two sizes too small. Well, this is what happens when we live like the Gentiles, right? When we choose to live our lives away from God. Now, when Paul talks about the Gentiles, it's really just a shorthand way of him saying, people who are living without God. And the word that Paul uses to describe them is that they are hopelessly confused. And this word in the Greek is the word mataoites. And mataoites explains the emptiness of the present in contrast with living in the fullness of the future. And so what Paul's saying is these people, because they are living devoid of God, they have an emptiness. They could be living in this fullness of the present, but they are choosing to live with this emptiness or this heart that is two sizes too small. There's a saying in our world today, nature abhors a vacuum. And practically, it means that any empty space is not tolerated, and that if we have voids in our life, the voids will be filled with something else. And practically, I think what it means for us is that when we have a void in our lives, we're going to fill it. And we can fill it with things like overeating, overindulging, we'll drink too much, we'll watch too much TV, we'll do drugs, we'll fall into relationships that we shouldn't be in. You know, Paul says of these people, you know, they have closed their minds and they have hardened their hearts against God. And because of that, they have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Now, no one develops a life like that overnight. The process begins when, as we ignore God's clear commands and we justify our sin. We convince ourselves that what we're doing, our behavior, isn't that bad or isn't that wrong, despite what the Bible has to say about it. And eventually we numb our spirit. And as we continue to make excuses, we bury the truth deeper and deeper, and we become increasingly deaf to the whispers of God's Spirit. And eventually our hearts will become unresponsive to God's ways. Right? Those hearts that are two sizes too small. As it says in Dr. Seuss's book, stink, stank, stunk. And thankfully, it doesn't end there. It doesn't have to end there, because there is an opportunity for renewal. You know, Paul continues in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, but that isn't what you have learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature in your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly holy and righteous. You know, Paul says that the first step to renewal is to leave behind those things in our lives that are destroying our relationship with God. And we all know that's a lot easier said than done. And so there's some steps we need to take in order to get rid of these things that are destroying our life, our relationship with God. And the first one is this, that we need to acknowledge that there's a problem. You know, denying that we don't sin or denying that there's a problem does nothing for us, and it makes healing impossible. We must recognize that there is something wrong in our hearts and in our lives. We need to face the reality of our sin. You know, when we sin, we don't want to blame it on others or our circumstances. We don't blame it on our personalities or our needs. We need to face the truth that we are rebelling against the clear instruction of a holy God, that we are refusing to submit to his role in our lives. And after we acknowledge, or after we face that reality, then we ask God, ask others to forgive us. Because true forgiveness and restoration require that we confess specific sin and hurt that we are guilty of. Oh, God, forgive me of my sins. No. God, forgive me for what I said about this person. Forgive me for the anger I hold on to. Forgive me for the resentment that I nurture in my life. You know, it's important for us to show that we understand what we have done and how it has affected us and God and others. And after we do that, we need then to rest in God's transformational mercy. Because once we have squarely faced the wrong in our lives and confessed our sins to God, we need to receive the mercy. Right? We need to stop beating ourselves up. We rest in the Lord's incredible and undeserved forgiveness. You know, earlier I had mentioned the Grinch, and You know, later on in the story, when the Grinch is up on the top of Mount Crumpet, and he's got the sled that is full of all the toys and the gifts and the food and decorations that he took from Whoville, and ready to push it off over into the abyss, it says that he comes to this realization, and he says, perhaps Christmas didn't come from a store. Perhaps Christmas means a little bit more. Right? The Grinch came to this realization of what he was doing, the wrong that he was doing, and it stopped him in his tracks. And this is the step that allowed renewal to happen in his life. It's what happens in our lives when we stop, recognize our sinfulness, confess it out loud to God, and allow God to change us. You know, it's in this moment that the Grinch decides to leave behind what is destroying his life. You know, the second step of renewal is to let the Holy Spirit renew our thoughts and our actions. You know, think of this like changing the channel on your TV. If you don't like what you're watching, turn the channel. You know, we are to be made new by the renewal of our minds. Yeah, because if we choose to feed on God's word rather than on the schemes and the propaganda and the whispers of this world, we will naturally begin to think differently. Renewal comes when we renovate our thinking. You know, the way we think about God, the way we think about ourselves, the way we think about others. This isn't something he can do, or this isn't something that we can do on our own. You know, Paul specifically says, let the Holy Spirit renew your mind. Let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. You know, when the Grinch had this moment of renewal, it says that his heart grew 3 sizes. I mean, how is that possible? How is it possible for a person's heart to change? God has that power. In Ezekiel chapter 36, 26, it says this, I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll remove that stone heart from your body and replace it with a heart that's God-willed and not self-willed. And the Holy Spirit, if we will allow him, can transform, can renew our lives, our thoughts, our attitudes. And the final step in this renewal process is to put on our new nature. You know, you can't put on the new nature or the new self until you have dealt with the old you. You know, as the old saying goes, only a fool thinks they can keep doing the same thing and get a different result. Charles Sheldon, in his classic In His Steps, was a devotional written years and years and years ago. Well, it was updated by his family and re-released as What Would Jesus Do? And this devotional was about putting on the new self. And so Sheldon suggests in his novel that people should approach every situation, every choice, by asking, what would Jesus do? And then doing it. Now, there are some people in our world today who will respond to that notion by asking, well, what does God want me to do? And maybe what they're saying is, I don't know what God wants me to do. But I think we do understand what God wants us to do. We just simply don't want to do it. It's a lot easier to say we didn't know than to admit we refused. Because it is God's voice that is calling us to forgive that offense that we carry. It's God's voice that's calling us to stand up to the truth or for the truth of God's word. It's God's voice that is asking us to let go of a hurt. It's God's voice that's asking us to give more than what is comfortable, or to help someone in need, or to love someone who is hard to love, or to talk to somebody who doesn't know Christ and talk to them about Christ. Instead of ignoring God's way and developing a hardness in our heart, Paul calls us to listen and follow. And in fact, listening and obeying God's word is what will enable us to experience exactly what the Grinch experienced. You know, it is said that after the Grinch's heart grew three sizes, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light. He brought back the toys and the food for the feast, and he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast. You know, renewal can be hard and challenging. And it's important that we don't simply talk about renewal, because we need to be renewed. We need to allow God's grace to continue to change our lives. We need to embrace the life that Christ offers and to let Christ lead us in a new direction. We need to pray that God would soften our hearts and to change our life. And Jesus has opened the door for us to a renewed life. Now, people who truly appreciate this don't simply admire the door or think about what's beyond the door. They walk through that door into the life that he died to make possible. You know, may God help us to hear his voice and to follow his ways and to experience the kind of renewal that Advent can bring. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we pray for that, oh God. We pray that we would recognize our sinfulness. And instead of hiding it from you, dear God, we would simply come to you. Give to you who we truly are and ask you to change us. Ask you to renew us. Thank you, Jesus, that's the gift you died to give to us. It's not a gift that you are hiding. It is a gift that you readily want to give to us. And Jesus, may we open that gift of renewal this year. It's in your name, Savior, we pray. Amen.